Hey everyone, this is Mary Demuth, and this is Pray Every Day, where I pray through the Bible verse by verse on the second day of August. I hope you're having an amazing day. You know what? This podcast is kind of meta. It's brought to you by Pray Every Day. Did you know that I just released a book last month called Pray Every Day, and it is 90 days of prayer from God's Word. And if you stay tuned at the end of this episode, I'm going to read you one of the entries of that particular devotional. It's a 90-day devotional that takes you through all the prayers of Scripture, almost all. There's more than 90, not very many more than 90, but I took 90 of the prayers of the Bible and I unpacked them for you. And so I'm really excited that Harvest House Publishers has gotten this out into the world, and it's such a great companion to the Pray Every Day show. All right, today we are in Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 21 in the New American Standard Bible, NASB. This is what it says. After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. With this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago.' Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they may abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. For Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath." Mind if I pray for you? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for James standing up and saying, "Hey, if Gentiles are coming to Christ, let them come. This was prophesied about." And it's really interesting that in this passage, what he particularly quotes, he is talking about the tabernacle, and there's almost this hint of, I guess I'm preaching and not praying, but this hint of that we will become that tabernacle, which is what I prayed about yesterday. So Lord, I lift up my friend today who is wrestling to believe that they are the tabernacle of God, that you have made your tabernacle with us. You have tabernacled with us. You have come to live with us. You have come to settle on us. And it used to be in the Old Testament that the Spirit would rest upon people, but now the Spirit lives within us. And so help us just to live in light of that. Help us to realize that. Help us to rest in that. Help us to grasp that the Spirit of glory not only rests upon us, but lives within us. Lord, I also pray for those folks in our lives, and I know everybody has these, of people who are far from you. And maybe they've never known you, and they've just been far from you their whole lives. And so as with the heart of evangelists, after reading this passage, we pray for those folks who are far from you. We pray that you would bring them to places where they understand their idols and the things that they are living their lives for cannot ultimately satisfy. You have created us for yourself. You are our creator, our father, and our hearts, as I think it was Augustine who said, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. And so, Lord, we can go to the ends of the earth. We can find everything to try to satisfy us. We can seek money. We can seek fame. We can seek glory. We can seek office. We can seek popularity. We can seek beauty. We can seek perfection. We can seek achievement. But ultimately, Lord, you cause those things to fall down because they can't fill us. And Lord, as I looked back on my life, especially in my writing life, I've noticed how beautifully you have torn down those idols in my life. And at the time, I did not find it as very loving. I found it as frustrating. But I'm so grateful now as I look back over my writing career that I was never really allowed to have that modicum of fame or high sales or anything like that. All those things were torn away from me. and it was good for my soul. And so, Lord, even those things we don't quite understand, help us to realize that you're doing something, and we may not get it all, but you're up to something. Thank you so much for that and for being up to something, Lord. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this podcast today is going to go a little bit longer. You can stop listening if you want to, but I wanted to read to you from Pray Every Day, and this is from page 169. I'm going to read from one of the Acts prayers since we're reading through the book of Acts. So this one comes from Acts 3, 6 through 8. Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold from you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This is what I wrote after that. This interaction with the lame man began with prayer. Peter and John had just trekked to the temple at 3 p.m., the hour of prayer. In that sacred pursuit, they met this man who had never walked. He had experienced lameness since birth, Acts 3, 1 through 3. He sought Peter and John not because of their prayer lives, but because of a lesser view of God. His highest request wasn't restoration, but maintenance, to be supplied with the resources necessary to make it another day. Peter responded with a prayer command, invoking the name of Jesus Christ. This bold proclamation was followed by Peter offering his hand, pulling the no longer lame man to his feet, while Jesus' name fully healed and restored the man. Imagine the surprise. The man thought he needed money, but God provided a miracle instead. His response was certainly not sedate. Testing his feet, ankles, and legs, he began by walking, but he did not stop there. Leaping replaced pacing, and soon a dance of utter joy overtook him. We can learn much from this story. First, God's power is real. Our prayers often are more sedate in nature. Please give me money. Please give me this or that or this. But perhaps we have forgotten that God has the power and ability to do much more than we even ask. See Ephesians 3:20. We can approach our God with boldness and confidence in light of his very real power. Second, the name of Jesus Christ has power. When you're overwhelmed, tired, confused, broken, or simply have no words to pray, saying the name of Jesus has power, not in an incantation, but in beseeching his help. Third, our response to an answered prayer is important. We must stop, experience it, embrace the work of God, and then flat out praise God. The lame man walked, leapt, and danced his praise. He cared nothing for propriety. His frenzy was the result of pure joy and gratitude. We must show the same. Jesus, help me pray bold prayers. I don't want to settle for asking for small things. I want to approach you with anticipation for the power you provide. Teach me today not to take your answers lightly, but to rejoice at your presence in my life. The provision you give, and the kindness you have so lavishly poured out on me, I want to dance my joy today. Amen. So if you're interested, you can pick that up wherever books are sold. It's simply called the same name as this podcast, Pray Every Day by Mary DeMuth. The subtitle is 90 Days of Prayer from God's Word.